Hi, everybody. This is Christy Holmick, and happy Valentine's Day to everybody. This is our second guest call, and I'm very happy to have Erin Currup of Remade by Hand here with us today to talk about copy editing and digital projects. So, hi, Erin.
Hi, Christy.
And I will post links to Erin's website and email and all that stuff when I send out the recording of the call so that you guys can check out her website. And also, if you're listening in and not live with us today, you can email Erin any questions you have about the stuff that we're talking about today. So Erin is a copy editor, and she helps solopreneurs, like so many of us are, clarify our messages and our verbal branding, both on our websites and in digital products. So she can help polish ebooks, plan courses, plan digital courses, or take pieces that you've gathered and develop a product out of them for you, all the time maintaining your voice, your unique voice. And I invited Erin here to talk with us today because she's been working with entrepreneurs editing their digital products and websites for a while, and she's also been through this workshop. She's been through the PDF creation process herself, so she brings that combined perspective, both from the copy editing viewpoint and helping people with their digital products, and also from creating her own. We're going to be talking about editing that goes beyond just fixing grammar and spelling errors. We're going to be talking about editing that works on a really deep level to transform your digital products and your website into their best version. We have our February workshopees listening in, and we also have our alums from the last few sessions listening in or listening into a recording later. So there's quite a group of us that will be benefiting from Erin's expertise. We're going to chat a bit, and then if anybody hops on the line, it's star 2 to raise your hand. We'll open it up later for any questions that everybody has. So, Erin, did I do a good job of describing what you do? And please add more to the description if you'd like.
Yeah, no, you pretty much nailed it. Okay. I do work on the deeper side of things, and you know, websites and digital products are sort of my playground.
So. Awesome. And that's what a lot of us are playing in right now. Digital products and our websites.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain, this is a place I see a lot of entrepreneurs getting stuck in, the difference between what a copywriter does and what a copy editor does. So if you can give us some guidelines and shine some light on that, I think that would be helpful.
Sure. So the basic difference with a copywriter, they're going to do the writing for you based on your input and your specifications. You're not really doing the actual writing. But with an editor works on text that you've already written, so it's in your own words, and helps you to shape it and polish it. So that's the major difference, is if they're writing the copy for you or you're working on copy that you've written. And a copy editor is actually a subspecialty of editing. So like you were saying, there's sort of the surface level of editing. There's really deep stuff that's more developmental and structural. And then copy editors technically fall like kind of in between. But I would say most editors, especially the ones who aren't in the traditional publishing industry, do a little bit of everything, even if they specialize more heavily in any one area. That sort of good differences?
Yeah, that makes – I know that that's a – people will say, I need a copywriter, and what they really want is an editor. Or they'll say, I need an editor, and what they really want is a writer. So so that helps clear that up. From your editor kind of viewpoint, what are some of the common things that you see, common issues that you see with first drafts of digital products, of ebooks, of courses, and things like that, that come up again and again?
So it depends a lot on the person who's writing and what their strengths are, and sort of what they're experienced with. But a few issues I do see a lot of, one is kind of the unwillingness to play with structure. So we tend to get attached to how we organized our content the first time we got it out of our heads. And it's really important to be willing to move around whole parts. I found that, you know, when I do my own stuff and with the PDF that I created through this workshop, I ended up, you know, my final draft looks nothing like my first draft because I ended up ripping up big chunks of content and rearranging them. And I think the more willing you are to play with structure, then the easier that process of refining and rearranging becomes, and the better your product is going to be in the end. So another product, another issue is like not filling in holes. So there will be gaps where a writer doesn't bridge from one subject to the next, or they leave out a piece of knowledge that's really crucial to someone understanding something. And because when you know your subject so well, it's easy to miss gaps that a novice really needs to have filled in. And so making sure to identify those and fill them in when you go from your first draft to your second draft is really important. And then the third thing I would say is not getting too stuck in perfection from the get-go. So it sounds kind of like, you know, contrary to what I just said, but sometimes you know, you need to get everything out of your head and onto paper or the screen without worrying about those issues. You know, it's not a problem if they're there at first, but once the content is out there, and you've gotten it all down, you sort of really need to pay attention to those spots and make sure that you're not so attached to the way that it came out of your head the first time that you aren't willing to be flexible.
We talked about, on our last call, we talked about creating that, as Anne Lamott would say, the shitty first draft.
Yeah.
And just getting the stuff out so mm-hmm. that it can be edited. Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting that you said the unwillingness to play with structure. So do you think that's just we think it came out the very best way it possibly could have come out the first time kind of thing? Or
I think it's just, you know, when you see something it's your own stuff,
mm-hmm.
it's like the almost the only way that you can see it.
Yeah.
And you sort of think, well, this is how it needs to be. This is how, like, this is how it makes sense to me. And sometimes if you have somebody else read it or you work with an editor or mm-hmm. you walk away from it for a long time and come back, you'll sort of realize that you could really kind of move stuff around, and it's totally okay to do that. You know, I'll save it, and then I'll like kind of save it again with a new name, you know, draft two, and so that I have that first draft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I want to go back to it, I can. You know, it's okay to sort of start playing with a new one. I think we're just too close to our own work sometimes to really see different alternatives.
Yeah. And I think that brings up to the, like, time frame issues. And, you know, in the workshop, we're really working on a compressed time frame for a lot of this because we're trying to write and design and produce a product. But there's a like sitting period, like you said, where you go away from it and then come back to it. Mm-hmm. That is really crucial, especially for the bigger ebooks and the digital products kind of thing that we're putting out in the world with a price tag on it and to represent us. So giving ourselves that space to let it sit and come mm-hmm. back to it, adding that into our timelines for our digital products and things too, breathing space,
yes.
I guess what I'm
yep.
saying.
Yep.
Yeah. For people who have a, you know, product or something in works or their ebook in the works, how do you know when you're ready to get somebody else to come on board and get an editor to look at it? Is there some, does a signal go off in your head or, you know, what would you say to that, Erin?
I would say, so, you know, different editors can come in at all different points in what you're creating. And I think it's most important for you to think about, you know, at what point you want your help to start, whether that's near the beginning of the process and you really want to work with somebody throughout, or you want to do most of it yourself and, you know, you want to get somebody in closer to the end. And sort of what kind of help, like what forms you might want that help to take when it comes to editing, or where you feel like you could use some support, and then reach out accordingly. So I think that's really the key, is determining for yourself, mm-hmm. you know, where that is. It's a great idea to start looking around for people that you think you might want to work with before you actually need an editor, and just sort of see what their specialties are and what their timelines are, and kind of keep that in mind as you plan out your products. And the point I always stress when people talk to me about timing is that regardless of the kind of help you're looking for, make sure you leave yourself enough time because it's always going to take longer than you think, kind of like everything with the product creation process.
Yes.
You know, we tend to forget sometimes, I think, how much time you really need. But yeah, it depends so much on sort of, you know, your style and how you want to work and even what you're creating, you know, how much help you feel like you need.
So if it's somebody who just sits down and plops out their ebook in like a weekend, they're not somebody who is going to be looking for planning type
probably
editorial,
not.
But
yeah.
they may be very much looking for somebody to help them structure that big lump of information that they've dumped out of their head.
Right. Yeah.
So whenever somebody's looking at editors, you know, what are the things that they're going to need to look at to say, okay, is this editor right for me? That's a huge question, I know. But
yeah.
How do you, you know, from your perspective, how do you help people, you know, figure out what sort of editor they need?
Sure. So the first thing to do is figure out if they do the kind of work that you're looking for on the kind of project that you have, because there's an editor out there for pretty much any project you could have, but not every editor is a good fit for a particular project, and you want to make sure, you know, if somebody doesn't work on digital products, then obviously they're not a good fit. Most editors will list what they do on their website so you can get an idea of where they specialize and see if it lines up with what your project needs. And a lot of editors, like I offer a free consultation. I know a lot of editors do.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can send them an email with your questions and just say, hey, this is, you know, what I've got. Is this something that you would work on?
Mm-hmm.
And once you know that they do the kind of work that you're looking for, the other really important piece is to get to know a little bit about them as a person. And this is really important because you can have lots of editors who fit the technical like specs of your project, but you're going to be spending time with them, and you're going to be letting them into a creative process that can feel really vulnerable. So you want to make sure there's someone you trust and you want to spend time with. And there's a potential for a long-term relationship here, kind of like you have with your web designer or, you know, your car mechanic, your accountant, because, you know, you're probably going to release more products, and finding an editor that you're super comfortable with now saves you having to start over down the line. So, you know, you can peruse somebody's website or blog. You can sign up for their newsletter, follow them on Twitter, you know, ask someone you know who's worked with them, and just get a sense of whether this is someone that you can see yourself working with. I think it seems kind of easy to forget that, you know, editors are people, too. They're not just these, like, red pen-wielding nut jobs that are hiding somewhere waiting to, you know, tear your work apart, where most of us are pretty friendly. So, you can kind of get to know us online the way you can kind of get to know anybody. So
yeah. Well, you said, you know, I have worked with editors who are the red pen wielding wielding editors, and get a lot of joy out of putting as much red ink as possible on things. But that's
not all like that.
So we all think, oh wow, it's going to be the newspaper editor with the red pen.
Yeah, no.
That brings up the whole. These are our babies, these ebooks, these digital products, you know. And how do we get over that hump of getting over that fear of letting somebody see and give us feedback on our work? That to me seems like a huge barrier, a huge thing some people will have to, me especially, would have to have to jump over.
Yeah, well, so usually by the time someone's decided to work with me, they're over that fear. And I've never, in my experience, had to convince a client that they should let me see their work. I think it's because, you know, they've read my blog, they've read my newsletter. Mm-hmm. We've talked, you know, either on Skype in a consultation or, you know, via email, or they've been referred by someone they trust. And
they're comfortable.
Yeah. When you find the right person, you know, it just sort of clicks and you know that, you know, you trust them to treat your work with the same kind of trust, the same kind of respect that you would put, you know, that you feel towards it. And I think if you're not comfortable working with a particular person in that kind of context, after you've gotten to know them a little bit, then that's probably not the right editor for you. Cause you know, you should not feel like you're readying yourself for battle when it's time to call your editor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have had clients who, you know, they get to the point where they tell me they're so excited to show me the new section that they wrote, or they're so relieved that they don't have to make, you know, their web copy perfect by themselves because I'm there to help them. And I really think that, you know, working with an editor should be that kind of invigorating, collaborative, supportive experience. So, you know, the bottom line is if you found the right person, you probably won't need to be convinced. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, if not, then maybe keep looking.
Keep looking, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good idea. Yeah. I think that this goes to hiring designer, web designers, basically mm-hmm. hiring anybody to help you. It is if there's that fear there, like you said, it really stunts the relationship and the ability to get things done. So anytime mm-hmm. we can get past that, that's good for us. Tell us specifically about your process, Erin. I know you do websites and you also do the digital products. Mm-hmm. Specifically for like the digital products, what's your process when somebody comes to you with their ebook and says, "Here it is," or they come to you with pieces and say, "Okay, I have all these pieces now. What?" Walk us through the way you approach those.
Okay.
Types of projects.
Yeah. Sure. So I tend to work on the deeper side of things. That's what I really love to do. So I end up getting a lot of people who are just starting out or, mm-hmm. You know, they want help assembling, you know, blog posts or a webinar transcript, whatever pieces. And they're like, I have this. I want to make it a product or I have an idea. And I'm not, I don't. So before it's really a full draft.
Mm-hmm.
And we start off with a new client questionnaire. And it's pretty in-depth. It's almost like something you get with a copywriter or a graphic designer because I really feel like it's important to get to know who you are, what you're creating, what your business is about, why you're creating this thing. I think it's really important to sort of how the product gets shaped. So we start there. I package my services instead of selling them either, you know, per word or per page, mm-hmm. per hour, per round. There's all kinds of different ways that people price their services. Mine are in packages. And I do that because I want my clients to get everything that they need for their project up front. Mm-hmm. So it's usually, we'll go through two or three rounds of editing, depending. And there's a few Skype calls or phone calls in there as well so that we can really, you know, touch base kind of in real time about what's going on and where we are. And then I also do a round of edits on the sales page that's included in my packages. So you get this sort of whole piece. And we work back and forth on Google Drive documents. We have sort of this like shared collaborative space where we can comment back and forth and ask questions and make changes. And so it's a very sort of real time collaborative thing. And I guess so. I'm not really like a sort of black and white right or wrong, you know, follow every single grammar rule ever kind of editor. If you're after that, there are certainly people out there who do it. There's a whole range. But for me, it's a lot more important that you're making your choices intentionally and that you're consistent throughout and that we get your product to a point where it's what you want it to be and it's really clear for your audience so that it's filling the purpose that you had in mind for it. And I believe the editing should really be about shaping and creating and refining and not about like stripping out or cutting back or, you know, getting rid of all the personality from it. And so the way I work really involves, you know, it's not an outsourcing. You don't give me your text and it comes back to you mm-hmm. all clean. It's very much like we are collaborating. We're both part of this process and we're kind of shaping this, this thing that you want to create together.
Mm-hmm. Are there sometimes designers and things involved in this process, Erin, when you're doing this with clients?
I don't work directly with any designer. Usually, okay. What happens is I'm in there sort of before the design stage.
Okay.
So I'm sort of part of the creation stage, going into sort of the refining.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would take the text. Usually, I give you the Google document of the finished text.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we make other arrangements and, you know, you give that to your designer or, mm-hmm. or your programmer, whoever it is,
mm-hmm.
or you do it yourself. You know, you take that text that's kind of finalized and put it into, you know, whatever the next step is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what are your favorite kind of projects to dig into?
pretty much everything I do. That's why I chose it. I love working with sort of these pioneering spirits, I call them, you know, sort of digital entrepreneurs who are sort of finding their way in this world, and the kind of people who are sort of afraid to hand over, you know, their site copy to a copywriter and really mm-hmm. want to be in control. And, you know, so helping them to get their websites and products really to feel like them and to feel like they turned out the way they wanted them to, mm-hmm. You know, and then of course working on the deeper end of things, you know, really, really helping to sort of shape these creations. That's what I love. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you kind of seeing out there in terms of digital projects that, are you seeing stuff that's cool, that's exciting? What's new out there? Is there anything new? Or are we all doing the same thing?
Well, I definitely think there are a couple of trends that are sort of made possible by the new sort of tools and technology and stuff that's out there. One is that products are getting smaller, I think. It's becoming a lot less about the size or length mm-hmm. and more about the usefulness. So there are a lot more like mini resources and bite-sized things that people are making. Manifestos, everybody seems to have something like a manifesto that sort of sums up their blog or their business, and shorter guides, products that solve like one problem or teach one skill.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to create like a monster course anymore. You can have this little thing and still sell it. And I think that's really cool because smaller products are less overwhelming for consumers to, you know, read, and also for creators to make.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, with courses like this one, it's so easy to create beautiful stuff on your own and get it out there mm-hmm. that anyone can sort of publish a digital product or run a course or do an ebook these days, pretty much themselves.
Yeah, I love it. It's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other thing that's really cool is that, you know, you're kind of doing it a little bit with this workshop is, higher priced products are more interactive instead mm-hmm. of having more content. So they might have private forums or Facebook groups or group calls or some piece of accountability and support built in.
Mm-hmm.
So a higher priced product doesn't necessarily have more content. It's just higher touch. And so you can create this one thing and sort of, you know, have different levels of interaction with it
mm-hmm.
and people will use the different ones. And that's webinars and Google Hangouts and new forums and all these things that are coming up
mm-hmm.
and making it possible. So,
yeah, I love that trend toward smaller because I you know this, I keep telling everybody in the workshop, make it smaller, make mm-hmm. it smaller. And then everybody goes and creates these 80-page ebooks anyway. But there's definitely the appeal of making something tiny and just having that singular focus and I like that. I like that the trend is kind of going that way to usefulness and bite-sized pieces. And where were you, you know, last year when I was developing this crazy course?
Yeah, I tend to run long-winded too, but you know, that's another point where an editor can help. You know, I just
mm-hmm.
it's really easy to sort of dump everything you know into, you yep. know, like I'm writing a PDF, I have to have everything, and you can really, you know, the people who are just getting into it can really benefit from a small bite-sized thing, you know, and it's totally okay to do that.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier too, and I wanted to circle back to it too, thinking about in terms of audience, in terms of is your audience a beginner audience or is your audience a more advanced audience, and how that mm-hmm. plays into what you as an editor do and how important it is for you to know that from your clients as they're coming in, not just what they want to say, but what their audience is and who they're talking to as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a question in my or at least one question in my new client questionnaire that everybody fills out at the beginning of a project. And it's about who's going to be using this product or this website, like who's it geared toward and also who's it not geared toward.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you not want using this? And that can be at least as powerful as saying who it's for. And I think, so if I know that up front, it's much easier for me to say, we're writing this for beginners. Like this would be really awesome if you want to make, you know, another course, a second mm-hmm. course that builds on this first one. you know, I've had clients who sort of do like an intro course and then a middle level one and then sort of like a higher, mm-hmm. So you can progress through them, or you can skip one if you feel like you sort of are at a different point. But so breaking up, sort of your topic into again, bite-sized chunks for people mm-hmm. to sort of consume like that. I think it's really important to know that up front, and for the client to sort of think about, you know, when you're creating something, who is it for? Who is your person who's going to get this? You know, what do they know, and what outcome do they want from what they're reading or consuming or whatever?
I asked you this question in an email. Where can we do better with our digital projects? Where are we slacking in terms of what we're putting out in the world? Because you see a lot of this, and I know that you pay attention to what everybody's doing. So,
mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is just making sure that we're providing value and not just creating something for the sake of making a product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finding out what people actually need and then creating something that meets those needs. Like I was saying, it's so easy to dump everything you know about a subject into this product and totally overwhelm people. And it's really easy to say, you know, I think this thing should exist in the world, so I'm going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so important to look at your clients and what they need. And, I mean, think about the questions that you get asked all the time or the problems that you're constantly helping people solve. And then, you know, create a product that fits that so that you're really providing value to people. And when you get that question again, you know, you can say, I have this product that I created specifically to help you through that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really great way to figure out how to make really valuable, useful products. That's sort of my biggest thing.
Excuse me. And so I know that everybody wants to know how much hiring an editor costs. So answer that question for me, Erin. How much does an editor cost? What will it cost me to get this done?
So every editor out there has their own way of setting prices, their own, you know, what a price includes. Some people do it by level of edit, so they'll define it, you know, it's a developmental editor, it's a copy editor, it's proofreading. They will, you know, you'll see it broken up by round of editing or by word, you know, like 2 cents a word, 3 cents a word, 8 cents a word, by page. There's sort of a standard, an industry standard for how long a page is, how many words that is. And it depends. I mean, so even within there, there's not like a standard price for, oh, proofreading is this much cents per word or whatever. And so it's going to depend a lot, you know, getting a short PDF proofread is going to be a lot cheaper than, you know, doing really deep, deep developmental work on mm-hmm. massive course. And it's something that, you know, there's a lot of value in working with an editor. If you can find a way to work with one that fits into your sort of product budget, that's awesome. There's mm-hmm. huge variety out there.
Just like everything else, there's no easy answer to.
Right, there's really not.
How much is this going to cost? Because everybody's ebooks are different. Everybody's digital products are different. And everybody's aims and goals and, like you said, budgets are mm-hmm. are different. What haven't I asked you, or what else am I missing in this kind of bigger editing and digital project equation? Is there something else or something else you want to add?
I think you hit a lot of the points I would have hit. I think the only thing I want to say is sort of like, you know, when you're writing your PDFs and creating your content, don't be afraid to be different and tell what you know in a way that you want to tell it. You know, sometimes there's this pull to sort of follow other people,
mm-hmm.
And it can be really hard to trust your own knowledge and scary to put out in the world. But, you know, when you do, it just, you know, you create this thing that's such a part of you, and it's so cool, and I think it really, people can tell. And, you know, you're unique, you have unique things to say, and I think the world needs to hear them the way you want it to say them. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, don't follow everybody else's.
Yeah, it's okay.
Five mm-hmm. tips to whatever.
Right. Yeah, it's okay to make your path and say it the way you want to. And I think the world needs more of that.
Awesome. Well, we have some gals in the workshop this time who are definitely very, very clear with their own voices, and I love it. I love the stuff that they're coming up with. Thank you so much, Erin, for coming and doing this. And everybody, I will have, like I said, send Erin's website and email and things to you when I send the recording, so that if you're listening to this and you come up with some questions for Erin about editing, about digital products, you can shoot her an email. She's nice. She'll respond. She'll probably even get on Skype or something with you and have a little chat if you want some help in figuring out how an editor could help you, or just, you know, chat in digital products. She knows this stuff. She does this on a daily basis. So it's an expertise that we don't go into a lot of detail with in the workshop. So anytime you can get somebody like Erin to come and just share a little bit of their knowledge, it's great. So thanks, Erin. We have nobody has their hand raised or any questions up in the Q&A. So I'm going to go ahead and sign off, and I will see everybody over on the various Facebook pages that we're all hanging out on. Hi, everybody.